John 19:28-29, we'll kind of wrap that up, and then verse 30. Starting in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, 'I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Last week, when we looked at that phrase, knowing that all was now finished, does anyone remember a little bit more how we expounded upon that or expanded that a little bit more? That word finished. What was it that Jesus knew? Anybody remember? You didn't know you were going to have a pop quiz this morning, did you? All right. Last week when we talked about that, it was the idea that everything was coming to the intended end. You know, he realized the purpose for which he had come to earth was now coming to a conclusion. It was being wrapped up. This was kind of the last thing that had to take place before he could go back to his Father and go back to heaven. And so that word there, that all things, or that all was now finished, is the idea that it was, that's, you know, what it was meant to be. You know, he was wrapping up. So those of you in the military, as you go from one station to the other, you kind of, you fulfilled your time, you fulfilled your purpose, hopefully. And then you are getting moved to another base or another position, something else that you're doing. So that's kind of the idea here that John is trying to get across to us. And then we looked at the fact that he said, "I thirst," and that was in fulfillment of some of the Psalms. And we couldn't find a specific one, but we had several references in the Psalms where it's referred to that when that the Messiah who would come would thirst, and that they would give him the sour wine and mingled with myrrh there. So now in verse 30, it says, "It is finished." Jesus received the sour wine. He said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The third and final statement that Jesus said from the cross, obviously, it is finished. I said, what was the statement? Just trying to get you to think a little bit. But what comes to your mind when you hear "it is finished"? What comes to your mind when you hear "it is finished"? All right, Jesus. All right. What else?
It's over.
All right, it's over. Is that what you said, Greg? It's over. Mike, did you say something?
Closure.
All right, so there's a closure. Good. What else? All right, that your sin has been paid. All right, so you're thinking biblically. Good. All right, something's been completed. That the task has been completed. Any other thoughts? And it doesn't have to be biblical, but just in general, when you hear "it's finished" or "it is finished" or whatever.
What's next?
All right, what's next? All right. So Dennis is a futuristic thinker. When things done, what's going to happen next? You know, where is it going from there? All right, good. And the story's not over here either, is it? All right. So where else in Scripture is that thought, the fact that it's finished, brought out? And it can be, you know, again, I just want you to think, see what you can come up with in your mind. You know, we see other references to this, and it kind of parallels. Can anybody? Yep, James. Okay. All right, so all the way back in Genesis, did somebody else think that too? All right. You just didn't speak up quickly enough. All right, so as God was creating the world, you know, at each day it was finished, and he saw it was good, and then after the sixth day, it was complete. Everything was done, and then he rested on the seventh day. Anything else? Anything, Josh, come to mind? All right, good. And what do you see in Revelation?
The return
Yes. All right, good. We'll look at a couple of those verses in just a minute. I'm glad you said that. Good. Anybody else? Anybody in between there, from somewhere between the resurrection and through Acts, the epistles, Paul, up to Revelation? I bet when I show them to you, Nate, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I knew that. You're going to kick yourself. Yes. It's not, and again, we're going to look at some where it doesn't necessarily say it's finished, but he's meaning the same thing.
When he puts the rainbow in the sky.
Okay, all right. All right, so you're thinking back to the flood,
yeah,
and just the idea that he wasn't going to flood the world again. All right, and so the rainbow is our symbol, God's symbol to us,
yeah,
you know, that he wasn't going to do that again. Okay. All right. So you're looking Old Testament when it was filled. Anybody think anything Hebrews? And Paul, yes. Okay. Finished my course and kept the faith. All right. All right. So this idea of it is finished, we can really just track that all the way back to the cross. And it's been used throughout Christendom as a kind of a rallying cry, as a thought, as something that we, you know, the writers have used in scripture. You know, Paul uses it, the writer of Hebrew talks about this. You know, in Romans 6, you know, Paul says what? The death he died to sin once for all. All right, so we get that same idea. You know, it's finished. It was once. It was for all. It's done. It doesn't have to be done again. You know, so the sacrifice that Christ that he offered was enough. It was that finality. It's finished. It's once for all. Life that we now live, he lives to God. You know, so we're not here to die necessarily, but instead, you know, Paul says, what, a living sacrifice. You know, God wants us to be that living sacrifice, and obviously there are those that will be called upon to be martyred and physically die for the cause of Christ. But in general, we're called to be living sacrifices. You know, Hebrews 7, he says, he has no need, like the high priest, to offer the sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this, what, once for all. And that's where I thought you were going, Teresa, with that one, with the temple. But, you know, the sacrifice, again, was once for all. You know, he offered up himself. So as when he says it's finished, that really put an end to the Jewish, the Mosaic laws of the sacrifice. It was sufficient. There's no more need to continue doing that. You know, what was it that took place on, as Christ said, it is finished on the cross? Then what happened in the temple? Right. The veil was torn from top to bottom. You know, there was no more need for the priests to do their daily sacrifices and offerings because the ultimate sacrifice had been offered. Hebrews 9, he entered once for all into the holy places. Holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood. And what did he do? He secured an eternal redemption for us. It wasn't temporary, as what the Jews had in the Mosaic law. This was eternal. You know, we're eternally redeemed. We don't have to continually, you know, get saved over and over and over again. You know, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, you know, and we are brought into a relationship with him, that relationship is permanent. And then we continue to work out our salvation in that. Hebrews 10:10. And by that will we have been, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Okay, so again, this idea, the writer of Hebrews, whoever you think that is really bringing out this same idea of the finished work of Christ on the cross, and that it is once for all. Then it also says John also uses this in Revelation, which is what Josh brought up. Revelation 16:17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." All right. So, and if you remember back, was Pastor preached through that, you know, the seventh angel was the end, and it kind of repeats itself through the different sevens. But that was the end of things. It's done. All of that, all that was transpiring now is concluded. Revelation 21:6, he said to me, "It is done. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. To the thirsty I'll give from the spring of water of life without payment." So we see the finality again being repeated by John in Revelation, that that things of this earth are going to come to an end, that all of from Genesis now to the end of what we know as time is being completed, and it has come to its end, and now we're going to have the future and eternal heavens and earth, the new heavens and earth that Christ promised for us. So then it says in John, verse 30 of John 19, it says, "He bowed his head and gave up his spirit." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So what does a bowed head represent? All right, humility, submission. Pastor talked about it a little bit this morning with Jacob bowing to Esau. All right, but it's a very similar situation, but we have the submission, the humility. What else? Reverence. Good. Good. A reverence. Can anybody think anything else? Anything else pop in your mind? All right. So, you know, honoring the will of someone else, kind of in that idea. Good, Greg. All right. So we have this idea of the, you know, some of the same thing, the obedience, the reverence, humility, and again, the finality. You know, when you bow your head, it's just kind of like, all right, and not like I give up, but that complete of, you know, I'm not going to fight anymore kind of idea. And that's how Jesus lived his life, wasn't it? In obedience, in reverence, in humility. And that's how he died. He died in obedience. He died in reverence. He died in humility. And then just the finality of, I've completed all that I've done, and everything that he did throughout his time here on earth was in accordance to the will of the Father, and obeying him and in reverence to him, and in the humility of taking on the flesh, knowing that each step is going to get him closer to the cross and to the finality of what he had come to do. So John now contrasts this with the fact that throughout the death story, Jesus has been repeatedly delivered, you know, first from Judas. It says he was delivered up by Judas. Then he was delivered to Annas and Caiaphas as the high priest. Then he was delivered to Pilate. Then he was delivered over to the soldiers to be crucified. And now we see that John, again, is using the same terminology, that Jesus delivered his spirit. And it's not an accident. John's deliberately repeating this on purpose to highlight the fact that Christ is in control. That even throughout all of this, it wasn't that they just, you know, they couldn't, you know, they didn't just grab him without his wanting to be grabbed. You know, we see all throughout, Jesus was like, you know, I was with you every day in the temple, and, you know, now all of a sudden you're here, kind of thing. You know, he speaks and, you know, and they fall down and on and on. He had the power. He could have saved himself. You know, scripture says, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. You know, he died willingly. Yep, Greg.
A regular criminal would have been captured, convicted, executed. It's all drawn out for a purpose.
Yes, right. Good, Greg. Yep. So we have to link the death of Christ here with his earlier statement that he said all the way back in John 10, that he had authority to lay his life down and the authority then to take it back up again. And that shows us the deity of Christ, because no human can make that claim. You know, I can't say, well, I'm going to lay my life down at some point and I'll pick it back up again. You know, I choose when I want to die and, you know, I'll come back to life again. We don't do that. You know, we don't choose when we die. We don't choose, we don't choose how we're going to be glorified one day if we are believers. You know, that's not on us. You know, God determines that. And so for Christ to make that claim, that proves, that shows forth his deity. So Christ is portrayed as totally in control of his life, his death, all of that. And it's within the arrest, the deliverance to go, to the high priest, to Pilate. You know, Christ told Pilate what? He said, you only have authority because it's been given to you from above. So just all throughout this, John is again hammering home that Christ is in control. Christ is in control. Christ knows what's happening. None of this was by accident. You know, carrying his own cross, the trial before Pilate, all of that was designed. All of that was on purpose. None of that was by accident. And John's showing us that even what has seemed to be tragedy, and again, what was it that the disciples struggled with? That, they thought, well, this is a tragedy. This isn't what's supposed to happen. But John's showing us that it was within God's control. God was still in control through all of that. Greg? Okay. And we can't lose that thought process of John here. You know, John's writing both. He's recording facts. He's reporting what's taking place. But he's also writing as a theologian, isn't he? You know, he's giving us great theology here. You know, he's not just a historian going, this happened and this happened and this is the fact and this. He's trying to tie it together for us and show us these are the facts, but this is how it wraps into a theological belief. And that God is in control of all of this. And we've got to understand in our lives that God is in control of our lives. And that God can take what looks like tragedy and he can turn it around and make good. Now, what is the struggle or what's the difference between Christ and us? Right. You know, we want to tell God what to do. We're not always like Jesus saying, I'm just here to do the will of the Father. And I always do the will of the Father. You know, we don't always do the will of the Father. You know, sometimes we try to tell God, this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes God says, OK, fine. But, you're going to learn the hard way through that. Now, he's still going to try to work to bring glory to himself through that. And maybe we're going to get beat up quite a bit along the way to get back on the path. But God's still in control in that. Any other thoughts? Okay. All right. Okay, good, Josh. All right, so we can all share our testimony. We're all commanded to spread the gospel, and say what we know. And I think one of the things there is as we grow in the faith, as we mature in the faith, then we should have more confidence to be able to share a little bit more and a little bit more. You know, but initially it might just be, hey, Jesus did a wonderful work in my life. And man, I wish you knew Jesus too. You know, and that might be all we know. But the more that we study God's word and the more that we understand, the more that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, then that's just more that we can share as we are talking to people about Christ. So good. So we have this idea that we talk to people all the time. I'm sure those of you in secular workplaces, talk to people where they believe Jesus is this historical figure. He was a great prophet or a great teacher and all this, but they try to separate that Jesus, he was a great teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God. And that's really, if you want to pick a sticking point about Jesus, that's what it is. You know, was he just a good teacher? Was he just a good person who did, you know, a lot of miracles and helped a lot of people? Or is he the Son of God? And that's the struggle. Because if you say, yes, he is the Son of God, then you actually have to buy in and believe what he said. Dick.
Also, going on, the Son of God, Jesus, claimed to be God.
Right.
And that's, you'll find, you know, in some discussions that I've had, or I shouldn't say discussions, but in telling a person who came and knocked on my door, or persons, I believe Jesus was God. Not just, they'll buy in on the Son of God, but being the Son of God, they put him at a level that is just a, like a human figure, Son to Father.
Okay.
The Father still has the authority, and Jesus is doing the will of the Father, but as you just shared with him, giving up, I have the ability to lay my life down, and I have the ability to take it up. He isn't saying the Father's going to do it. He says, I'm going to do it.
Right.
So he's claiming the same authority as God, which is where some of the other religious entities would...
Or cults.
Cults would say, okay, he's of God, but he's not God.
Right. And he is a Son of God, just like we can be a Son of God. As well. So, yes. So, you know, we have to be cautious there and realize that, you know, in this, Jesus, as we said earlier, he claimed deity. He claimed not just, he claimed to be God.
Right.
And part of the Trinity there. So, you know, this John's confession of faith as to who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he is God, that he, you know, in that weird... You know, he came to do the will of God, but yet he was still God as well, you know, within that. And so for John, the point of the story is not just that Jesus was killed or not just that he gave up his life, but that he died in accordance to God's will, God's appointed hour, that all of this, you know, it was according to the plan of God. You know, there was no accident because, you know, as we read the Gospels, you know, how many other times was Jesus, did the Jews try to catch Jesus and kill him? Right. There were several times, you know, and it said, you know, they picked up rocks to throw at him. And then he made it through, you know, he like walked through them and got away. Well, huh? Yeah. You know, or they were pushing him towards the cliff, you know, and then he just kind of that there he wasn't there anymore. You know, so it's God. You know, there was a time that God had ordained for him to die, and it wasn't on the cliff. It wasn't up with the rocks. It wasn't these other times. It was just when God wanted it to, and that was God's appointed hour, and the way in which God wanted it to. Exactly. Yep. All right, so in closing, how is the death of Christ different than when we die? We kind of alluded to it earlier, but just wanted to bring that back to your attention. What?
We don't have a
choice. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless you... Yeah. I mean, unless you commit suicide, you don't really choose when you die. You don't have a choice when that happens.
Christ did it when it was time.
Right. Christ died when it was time for him to die. You know, and that was, again, John's point of when it was finished, when it had all come to a completed end. You know, there wasn't anything left for Christ. There wasn't anything that he needed still to do during his earthly ministry. You know, he had completed all that he had come to do. And now it was time for him to go to the cross. So what should this remind us about our lives? This should have some good thoughts on this one. All right, great. Yeah, we don't know when our last day is. So the thought that we should ask ourselves every day throughout the day, am I doing the will of the Father? All right, what else should we be asking ourselves? Knowing that we don't know when our time is going to come to die. Not just am I doing the will of the Father, what else? All right, do I know the Lord? What will, you know, when I die, is it going to be absent with the body, present with the Lord, or not? Clint. Okay, good. Right, yeah. And you know, and yes, I'd agree with you. I mean, you know, Paul knew that his time was near. You know, Paul said, you know, I've, you know, my time is near, and, you know, I know sometime soon, you know, I'm going to die. But he said, you know, I've run my race, I've finished my course. And again, he said, I've done all that, you know, I've lived every day to the fullest. I've tried to do the will of the Father every day. And, you know, and again, you know, he struggled with that too, didn't he? You know, he said the things that I would, sometimes I don't, and the things that I don't want to do, sometimes I do. But I fight through that. You know, he said, I don't just give up. He said, I continue to fight. I continue to get back on track. You know, and it's that idea of persevering. You know, he said, I've kept the faith. You know, he didn't forsake God. He didn't forsake Christ. He didn't just give up. You know, and lived the last 20 years of his life, or 10 years of his life, or 5 years of his life, you know, abandoning the church and abandoning God. You know, and hoping that at his funeral, somebody will say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he still is a believer. He's in heaven. You know, he wanted to make sure that he finished strong and that there was no doubt that, hey, this guy lived for the Lord every day of his, from the time that he was saved till the time he died. What are you going to say, Dick?
Hands of the spears of the Indians in Ecuador, and I mean, we could, as a Christian, say, well, I hope I don't get this, or I hope I don't do that, or I hope that doesn't happen to me, and we could be concerned about something happening that brings about our end of our lives, and yet, whether it be a natural death, or whether it be an accident, or whether it be on the mission field, we have the confidence that it's God that knows when that's going to happen. He's going to carry us through it.
Right. Yep. It's amazing when you, if you ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know, how many of them just, you know, they faced their martyrdom just with complete peace. And, you know, you could just tell that God was with them through that.
Right.
You know, and again, to those around, it was, you know, it was a chaotic mess, you know, wondering why is this happening? But for them, you know, God gave them peace through that. And God worked through that even withstanding. And, you know, many of them, you know, felt no pain. Many of them, you know, were just focused and prayed and sang through it and gave God the glory for it. Other thoughts? Anybody else? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had together and this idea that you are in control and that you bring things to an end when it's in your time. I pray that you would help us to focus each day on living for you and striving to do your will, and that we would be your hands and feet and while we are here on this earth and proclaim your gospel. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.